Let's get started. It is episode 181. We are inching closely to 200. Don't worry, we didn't forget about y'all. We are going to keep the party going as much as we can and talk wrestling, talk hip hop, and talk whatever you might be into. But like we always do about this time, we started off with the putover section. And this is the part of the show where we talk about whatever we're thinking. It could be completely not wrestling related if it's a show, if it's a game, if it's a whatever. Yeah, it has to be
not wrestling related, y'all.
So before we get any deep dives, we like to jump into, you know, just things that we've been kind of vegging out on. We've all had a lot more time to watch TV and take in things, take in media. So I'm very curious what all y'all might be putting over today. I will start. Neo, are you playing Switch?
Yeah, it's part of my putover. I thought you were going to kick it to me first.
Oh, yeah, I'll kick it to you. All right, so, Neo, what are you doing right now?
So, an oldie but goodie. I'm playing Final Fantasy IX on the Switch. And it was one of these Final Fantasies, like my friend Barrett has always been a big fan of. And he's always toted it like it's the best Final Fantasy he's ever played. And so far, it's really good. It's got a slow build, turn-based style, and it looks really good, especially for like for the Switch. It looks really nice and scaled. So it's a game that I just started playing because, you know, we had to take an impromptu trip to the Tijuana border to drop my mom off so she can get on an airplane. And in the in-between time, I was playing Final Fantasy IX and made the car ride go very fast. So it's, yeah, man. And right now I'm barely like level 10, maybe like in the third or fourth city. And right now I'm having a blast with it. And, you know, the nice thing is, okay, don't tell anybody, you know, you have your Switch, obviously it's so little and, you know, I'm in the home office. So I could be like, hello, thank you for calling David. How can I help you? And then cast Ifrit at the same time. So it's a win, it's a win, win, win. So I'm digging it right now. Plus, it was nice. I actually had to take the Switch away from my son because he lost my video games.
And what? He lost your games?
Yeah. So he lost of some video games that I had because you know, you keep them in a little container, a little square, you know, box, and he lost them for a week, and I found them in his laundry bag, in his laundry basket. And I made him a stew over that guilt, man.
Oh yeah,
just to drive the point home.
Oh, okay? I absolutely understand.
So I was like, so he mostly plays Fortnite on the Switch. So I took that away from him, and it was nice for me because I was like, hey, you know, I can play some of these games I've downloaded and never played before. So the Switch right now is where it's at for me.
Word.
Final Fantasy IX
is a good pick. I started IX on PlayStation way back in the day, because like 7 was the one that really got me going. Of course, 8 really liked as well. 8 got a little confusing, but I came back to 9, and I enjoyed it. And then when it came out on Switch, I liked it because same story, a little bit of better graphics, but also I like that you can kind of fast forward some things that are maybe a little slow. So,
well, what's really cool too, sorry to interrupt, the Switch version actually has like a speed up, like you can actually speed your character, so he like runs really fast or walks really fast.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I like the fact that they have that in there.
Yeah.
So
I thought that was super cool. Yeah.
Because there's some moments that are slow, like a lot of walking around the world, or you know, things you might have seen, and you're like, oh man, let's just get to the good stuff.
Get on with it.
Right.
So I'm going to put over Lovecraft Country. It's a series that's on HBO. I've been watching it on HBO Max. This past Sunday was the fifth episode so far. And, man, this shit's been fire. I mean, they got it's Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams are involved in it. It's based off of the book Lovecraft Country, which was wrote with some themes from H.P. Lovecraft, who is a racist.
Straight up.
Straight up.
Yep.
But no, but the show was good though. It's you know, surround based about a black family and you know, the guy's bloodline ties back to like some cult, some magic cult, and you know, it's some monsters and shit. It's like it's kind of got like a monster of the week thing going on where every episode is like a contained episode, but then it has like an overarching theme that's tying the overall story together. So it's good. I've seen some people complaining about something that happened in the last episode, but I don't know if we're going to get into spoilers right now about it.
No!
So, yeah,
I didn't watch it yet.
No, I didn't give no spoilers then, so yeah, I mean, go ahead and catch up. Go watch it. I mean, support. Yeah, shit's fire. Yeah, and the dude from it just got hired to be in the new Ant-Man movie.
Nice.
Did you ever make any H.P. Lovecraft raps, Mega Ram?
No, because every time I tried to read Lovecraft, I've been turned off by it. I don't know if you've ever read any Lovecraft, but like, you know, Teak said it, dude was like hella racist. And it's one thing to know somebody's racist and then enjoy their work, but his prejudice is a part of his work. So to the point where like he'll meet a black, not even a black person, but there's a black dog that's on the street, and he'll be like, he was as black as the a Negro fresh off of the boat. Like it was like, or a black person come up and like, and it's black lips and looking like dark evil. Like it's very, very.
But not just that though, because he also crazy. Like he agreed with lynching. He was down with lynching. He was anti-Semitic. He, you know, he was outright, you know, open with, you know, not wanting black and white people to mix and mingle.
Wow.
So it, that's why the show's so great.
It reminds me of you remember Bernie Mac's part in
Don't Be a Menace? He would be turning over in his grave if he said this. That's what's great about it.
Yeah, you remember that? You remember Bernie Mac's part in Don't Be a Menace?
Yep.
Exactly like that then, huh? Man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he hated it because it's black. So then to flip it on that and then to make it about a black family, you know, but then still tie all the like prejudice stuff that they got to deal with because it's back in, you know, the past is dope tie-ins, you know, and especially after HBO just did Watchmen, then to do this also, it's like, you know, fucking with HBO.
For sure. HBO is like legit. They always come with a quality series. So if you're ever looking for anything to watch, like HBO will always come through for you.
Yeah, HBO is definitely where it's at right now. It's definitely winning in the streaming wars here at home because HBO Max is currently knocking Netflix and Disney Plus out of the park right now.
Yep. For sure. All right, so I guess it's up to me next.
Go.
My put over is a game that, it's funny, I've only got to play it a little bit because there were some server issues. But there's a game that came out in 2018 that has just become popular again called Among Us. Now, Among Us is on Steam. It's like $4.99. It's a game about, it's online, like local party game. So you can get a bunch of your friends together. It's 4 to 10 players. I've done a few games off stream that worked really well. But every time I've tried to stream, I get bad luck. And I can't freaking find a server that works with this game. But so it's really good with voice chat. So like if all your friends are on voice chat or maybe like online or local, you're trying to get your spaceship ready to depart. But at the same time, one or more of the people that you're with is an imposter that's trying to kill everybody.
So it's like Clue?
Yes, like it's Clue. Yeah, so you got to do all these jobs, but the person who's trying to sabotage you is making you do all these extra jobs.
Saboteur.
Yeah, so you got to check the map and security, and like if you see a dead body, you got to report them. You got to check the security cams. Like, it's really cool. Like simple graphics, simple style game, but very fun. I highly recommend if you're into like party games and you want to like maybe get on a game with a bunch of friends and play. It's pretty fun, but there are some server issues. So I would say play local. Probably you probably had the best success. But game, like I said, came out in 2018, but a couple of like famous streamers started getting on it. And Bear says it was originally a board game because it definitely feels like a board game.
No kidding.
So I guess definitely like Clue.
Yeah. A lot like Clue.
It looks like a
Space
2D,
Clue.
Looks like a almost like a 2D Fall Guys too, the way they're spaceship. I see it now. It's very simple.
Right. Like people are trying to fix the ship and things, and then they're like, oh shoot, somebody's dead. Who did that? And then the person who killed him is like, yo, I don't know.
It wasn't me. It almost looks like a Newgrounds game when you look at it like straight up like a Flash game. But
what was the whodunit movie like that was just on a train?
Wait, you're not talking about Knives Out. That wasn't that. On the train?
Yeah, they did one before they did Knives Out that was on a train, but this is like that, but on a spaceship.
Yes. Orient Express. It was
there you go. Boom.
Yep.
Orient spaceship. There you go.
Basically. So it's a cool idea. I just can't, like, I've had no luck getting a server. I saw Ron Funches has been playing it. I'm trying to get on with him and his homies and play. Him and Effie and me have been great. We've created a little bit of online wrestling nerds gaming group. And
Effie's a sweet boy.
So yeah, we've been playing Fall Guys mostly, but he wants to play some Among Us, so hopefully soon that'll happen. Shout out to those cats. So yeah, if you're on Steam, or you got a computer that can handle it, it shouldn't take much. It's a really cool online game that has a lot of really cool maps, and it's only $5. So check it out, Among Us.
Dope.
Those nice. Are and our putovers.
Is there any, has there been any talks? Because I barely found out about this. Is there any talks about this maybe moving to the console?
I hope so, man. This game just got popular. Like I said, it came out in 2018. A bunch of really big streamers got on it, and now thousands of people are playing it every day. So they just announced part two. So there is a sequel coming. I think maybe by the end of this year, there's a sequel coming.
Because the Switch has been super in it with like their indie games. So if this could, this is definitely like right up their alley.
Looks
really good.
Definitely. Crossplay. If you have an Android phone and iOS, it's on those. That's why the one issue I have with it is that it doesn't use controller. You got to use keyboard and mouse. So if you're not into keyboard and mouse, you can play it on your phone and just drag the person to wherever they're going to go.
Hey, did both of you guys get your pre-orders in? I see that the group chat's been ablaze about.
I definitely want to talk about PS5. I was going to bury Sony for the way they released
that. Oh, my bad. Let's wait on that, Dan.
We'll get to that later. We'll get to it later. Let's talk some wrestling. But honestly, if you're in the chat and you were or were not able to get a PS5, let me know what your experience was. It was nuts, man. They just basically started out. But I'll just recap what happened yesterday.
Like they released it by accident, right?
Yeah. Supposed to release basically, Sony did a little talk saying it'll be out tomorrow.
You know what though? Accident in quotes.
Let's go. Accident.
I've worked at GameStop. I've heard of this stuff like all the time. You know, this happened a lot.
Okay. Exactly. People drop stuff all the time, just like oops, and now you know it starts a pandemonium. And
somebody pushed the red button.
Right. Like, if you were really upset about it, like, Sony could be like, all right, y'all, now you're not, I'm not filling those pre-orders. Like, you messed up. But they're not. But anyway, you get a good PC, and you can do all that. You can play Among Us. You can play Fall Guys. You can play everything.
You know what was funny? Is I was watching the PlayStation showcase, and even, like, straight up in the beginning, it said, this PS5 is being rendered via PC. And I'm like, well, what the hell?
Right. That's all you need to know. They're renting it on a PC.
What are you doing to me?
When I went to see, me and Phil went to E3, and we're watching the very first footage, supposedly, of PS5 Cyberpunk, and there's a PC it's running on. And I'm like, come on, man.
There you go. So,
join.
I mean, yeah, that's what they're creating it on. And my Xbox One is still running just fine, so.
Exactly. Use buyer beware. If you buy a system first day, you know you're gonna get all those bugs and problems. So.
And that's the thing. That's why I am waiting personally, because you know I've bought in several systems day one and they just never panned out. And I think the one that really instilled the fear in my heart and mind was the Xbox 360. I had a lot of red ring consoles and. Mm-hmm. Even when I got the Xbox One Day One edition, that one tanked. Like I had to get a replacement, like the next month or two after I received it. So
Yeah, you gotta wait a little bit, man, because I've never had any Ring of Death on my Xbox, you know,
See,
knock on wood, but
so you
you
yeah,
know.
so you probably got like the one of the updated ones. So I mean, you know, that's why I'm in the minority where I'm
Because I
definitely gonna
remember in
have
the
to wait
beginning,
for
that's
it.
why people were like crapping on Xbox or whatever was because of that. You know, they were saying that they were, you know, getting a Ring of Death, burning out and shit.
Yeah, and I'm just over it, like 100%. Even like the Switch, I waited because, you know, there were like battery issues and controller sway. I mean, you just, I don't know. I guess it's just me personally.
Yeah, it's real. So it's worth it to wait. Like, it's cool to be the first guy on the block, but it's also cool to have a system that works. So, yeah. All right, so let's get started. Let's talk about some wrestling.
Let's
What's
crack a beer.
we gonna there you go. Crack a beer for the working man. I'm gonna take a swig of water.
It's actually the El Segundo.
Is that the skull?
Oh, that's
There
the
we go.
Broken Skull IPA.
I got
From a,
some
oh hell yeah.
fruit
From a
punch.
global icon, national treasure.
Woo. That's
Word up.
hoppy.
Yeah. All
Did you
right,
think
so
it?
let's get it started. So wrestling happened this week. There was
Wrestling happened.
Monday Night
There
Raw.
was some.
There was a 3-hour show. I literally turned on Raw at the end, and the end was really exciting to me.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna
You...
start from the end and we can go backwards. But
Okay.
okay, so we got Drew and Keith Lee in the ring. Apparently this match, what was this match for? Like, was there stakes? Like, who gets?
Yeah, so if Keith Lee won, then he gets an automatic shot at Clash of Champions, but that's if Randy Orton doesn't show up. So it's kind of like a
Because
placeholder
Randy
for a
Orton's hurt,
placeholder.
yeah.
If he doesn't show up. But meanwhile, Drew with a broken jaw can show up. So why
Fractured, right?
wouldn't Randy Orton, who's been kicked a couple times, not show up? But okay.
And you know they're gonna turn that into a three-way dance.
I feel like that's the plan. So here's what's there's a bunch of rumors, and I think it's just a red herring to throw people off that there's no plans in place for Keith Lee right now. What do you guys think about that? Like, because he doesn't have a match on the card.
Go ahead,
So
T.
Well, I mean, Rancid, he didn't start watching it till the end, but throughout Raw, they were segments between Keith Lee and Drew McIntyre building up to the
It
match at
was
the end
just,
of the night.
yeah, it was just fights though. They were just like fighting and pulling apart, fighting and pulling apart.
And I mean, they probably really don't have any plans for him post Clash of Champions. That's what's coming up, right? But I do think that they're going to somehow wedge him into that match, and it's going to be a three-way.
I think so too. Like, what else do you do with him? Otherwise, he doesn't have a match and he runs in or special
Yeah.
guest referee. I don't know.
It's just the only thing with these three-way matches, you're going to get some sort of distraction finish, like always, or maybe some sort of roll-up, you know, to try to maybe keep the mentality on someone who's strong. I don't know, man. Like, I really like what they were doing with Randy and Drew in the beginning. And Keith Lee, he just got the rocket put on him, but to the point where I felt like it could be detrimental, just because, you know, he's being shadowed in this main storyline, you
So
know.
check this out.
There's
Just
nowhere
off,
to go but down. Like, that's the first thing I thought. There's nowhere to go
well,
but down.
I think I got an idea just off the top of my head. So we just had
Get him.
Retribution interrupt their match. So at Clash of Champions, Retribution could interrupt. They could unveil themselves. When a Retribution could be Keith Lee's homie, and then we bring that feud from NXT over to the
Oh,
main show. It'd
so
be what? Down to, yeah.
Dijakov. Okay, so
hey, real quick though, y'all gotta hydrate.
John Bond says hydrate. I'm gonna hydrate.
Hydrate.
But yeah, what you think of that rant?
That's interesting. Like, that could be the plan, to be like they come out and then like maybe Keith Lee unmasks them and it's like, oh, my friend, and then we gotta fight or figure something out, you know. So then that creates an instant storyline for him.
Korean love drama. Let it go.
It's I mean it's more of like, you know, the friend best friends, better enemies thing that's like has been a part of wrestling forever. So
Right, and then tied it into Retribution, which, as I said before, has gotten kind of stale. So at least that would be like once those guys unmask, they'll have something to do or part of a storyline, because I feel like it's not going to be anything too exciting about them unveiling who they are.
True. Speaking of stale, the one thing I think that's not stale and I wanted to get into is how the show ended with Hurt Business coming out, taking them on, saying, like,
oh, yeah, they're the man.
You know, I like what they're doing with the Hurt Business. I think that to me has been the best part of Raw, because it seems like literally every time I turn on Raw, it's one of three matches going on. It's either something with Ray and his son and Seth. It's something with, well, it was the Street Profits and Andrade and Garza forever. Now it's, you know, Shinsuke and Cesaro. So we get a lot of the same stuff over and over again. So it's kind of...
I got some gripes, too.
Yeah.
And I try to look at the positive side of everything, but why are you going to have your Raw tag team versus your SmackDown tag team on a regular Monday show and not save it for Clash of the Champions, where...
I don't get
where
it.
Where champions are supposed to clash.
That's where champions clash. I'm so confused, yo. I don't understand that. I was like, they're just going to build up the match. But no, they're going to actually have the match. Like, that was weird. I don't understand that. So
and Cesaro looked like a champ, like, for sure. And I just was confused at the entire thing. It was just, and they won super clean. Like, it just makes SmackDown, the tag team division, not look like something to watch.
Well, come on, man. The tag team division is pretty trash anyway, and they continuously break up tag teams for no reason, diluting the tag team pool.
Dilute.
Mm. I mean, look at your boys now. Angel and Angel and Garza. That's his full name.
Angel and oh, you talking about for SmackDown's tag teams or Raw's tag teams?
I'm just talking about tag teams in general. Weren't they on Raw or were they on SmackDown? I'm confused now.
They were on Raw.
They're on Raw.
Right. Yeah,
but
there you go.
And that's the thing, right? I would imagine the little team imploding would be on a grander scale. No, it was backstage. No big deal. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So all these weeks of being invested in this tag team,
right? It was just a brush off.
Brush it off. Okay. And now Lana's going to get married to Angel Garza. So.
Wait, and what? Then, is that really happening?
It'll probably happen.
Yeah, probably.
And yo, you see what WWE did to Lana? They gave her the business, homie.
So do you think that was, I saw that, and do you think that was like some payback for Miro, you know, taking shots?
That was habitual. Habitual.
And they're like, oh, you got to catch that for your husband.
Damn. They're not saying no women and children. They're saying anybody near them, get them shots.
Anybody can get it.
Oh, man, she's got laid out.
At least they sent the woman to do it.
And didn't. Right.
She could have got a King Corbin.
Yo, that's
You know he'd have did it.
Yeah, he'd have done it with no question. There might have been, you know, a payback. They're saying like, oh no, they wanted to make that team look super strong, so that's why they didn't. That's why they did that. But I don't know about that.
Nah.
But I do want to jump back to talking about the Hurt Business, because, you know, shout out to Cedric finally joining the winning team. You know, if you don't get down, you're gonna lay down.
You know what though?
Lay down, you're gonna stay down.
MVP. I think he summed it up perfectly. He said, Cedric talked to his tax attorney. He got his W-2 in. He is in the business. And I thought little things like that really make it go a long way, because MVP continues to sell the Hurt Business as a business, as a conglomerate, even on commentary. Like, this faction, it's doing everything right thus far. And now I am more excited to watch what they do.
Yeah. Throughout. I got to take a minute to, you know, MVP's return was a little shaky at first. You know, he was just coming out every week just trying to, you know, talk to Drew or talk to somebody and then get beat up. But, like, I'm going to give him his flowers, man. Like, what MVP is doing right now, like, really elevating black talent, you know what I mean? Like, putting them over on the mic, like, getting these guys better. They got to all get better on the mic.
That's my good version. They got a good version of Titus Worldwide.
And, yeah, like,
there's Teague. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, the good version of Titus Worldwide. Like this
Titus
is what
Worldwide
that was,
is not allowed.
This right, is what that was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Except that was like a joke.
But what do you guys think will be next for them? Like, do you think that they're going to continue to have like Apollo Crews be the foil and like go against them, or you think he's gonna eventually get down?
I don't know.
I'm talking about Titus?
Apollo.
Apollo. Do you think Apollo will join? I don't think so. He's too good. I don't know.
He's going to play the DDP role and always be the straight man.
He's too pure.
He's you know? Too
Act like he's going to join and then throw the shirt back in their face. That type of shit.
Yeah, he got to not smile. But, like, honestly, I feel like all those guys could use mic work. So I'm hoping that, you know, through this, you know,
with except MVP. Lashley, man. Lashley don't need to talk.
Yeah.
Never give Lashley the mic.
Yeah, he don't need to talk. As long as you got MVP speaking for them, I think they're all good. But what do you think about their opponent right now, or at least Cedric's opponent, Ricochet? There are some rumors that Pretty Ricky did not re-sign with WWE. I don't know where this came from. But
that's why he got that mega lumbar check the other night.
Oh! He got that lumbar check looked beautiful.
Like, it's almost like you could tell, like, when somebody gets, like, blasted, you're like, oh, yeah, they might be leaving or something happened. But, like, there's rumors. I don't know if it's true. It's on Ricochet's Wikipedia page right now that he didn't re-sign. I don't know how true that is. But if you were Wikipedia, if you were Ricochet, Teak, would you resign or would you think about other options? Think about it's been what a year out there. It's been a year.
Real quick, hydrate.
Oh, we got hydration from Neo.
I just wanted to drink.
I would not resign. There's too many other options out there for Ricochet, and Ricochet has been grossly mishandled since he has came to the main roster. So, I mean, hey, depends on what bag is out there, who's offering him what, and where he want to go. I don't know how much he would like to go over to Japan, but, you know, shit, AEW scooping everybody up, and I feel like if they scooping everybody up, they should scoop up the good talent and not just anybody, which Ricochet could probably do great over there. What's up, Neo? I saw you nod your head to Japan.
Yes. Additionally, I think our last episode.
Ain't nobody trying to go to Japan. First of all, hey, Japan. They're not even taking the Americans right now. But anyway, go ahead.
Chill out.
Ain't nobody trying to go to Japan. Why? Because all the Japan guys in AEW now.
No, because so COVID. Because of COVID. They don't.
No,
they're not taking them right now.
What I was gonna say is, per the last episode, New Japan USA, like that show was amazing. Like, and if they can bolster their ranks a little bit, they can do more New Japan shows from California.
And I mean, it's always Impact too. Let's not, I don't want to disrespect by not shouting, but
Impact is a legit third brand because they exist, but I don't know if they're a real competitor. Like the production value is not on par, but the wrestling is really good.
I feel if New Japan really wants to make an impact in the Western market, they should really consider bolstering their ranks here in the States. So that way they can put on more shows. And because that way they can put on their own version of a G1 in the U.S. They can put on their own version of, you know, the Super J Cup in the U.S. tag team. Like they can do all these tournaments in the U.S., kind of like splitting the brand a little bit, you know.
At the same time, he should probably just stay with WWE because if he pops up on AEW, I can't say I'm gonna be excited. However they try to introduce him, I'm gonna just be like, oh, it's just another WWE guy. Like it's not. it's kind of lost the luster of it unless they brought out like Brock Lesnar or some shit.
So Brock is the only person that would excite you right now from WWE?
I mean, it would have been Roman Reigns had Roman Reigns not came back already. The thought of him switching brands would have been dope. If you get Brock, because you know Brock's out his contract, that would be dope. I mean, you saying only Brock, like that's a joke, but who else from WWE, if they got released, would you be excited to see?
I would say, I mean, CM Punk would be exciting, even if I'm not a huge fan. I think it would really be big for wrestling.
Okay.
Who else? That would like really make me like sit up in my chair. Yeah, there's probably not a lot of people, to be honest. I don't know.
Neo?
Huh. No, for me, it would definitely be AJ. Like, AJ going to AEW or even Finn, and call it what you want, like Bullet Club, Block Party, whatever. But I think AJ can have matches with all these indie guys that are currently at AEW and really tear the house down. I think he hasn't done all that he could have done in WWE currently. He could still do more, but he's... You know, again, he's got that glass ceiling in the Intercontinental card currently.
I mean, I agree, Neo. I will say that AJ will have good matches over there, but seeing AJ show up would not make me pop. I wouldn't be like, oh, shit, like something crazy. I'd be more excited to see Cesaro pop up on AEW than AJ, because I know Cesaro don't got jobbed out on WWE, so if he came over, as good as he is, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, that would be dope. You would hope you would get a good run out there.
But look at the chat. Right. Like, No Siri Jax straight up said AJ versus Kenny would be huge money. Like, that's 100%. That's why if AJ was in the mix, boy, that would be money.
Yeah, or Adam Cole. I was saying, like, Adam Cole would be huge. Like, if he popped up, come on, that would be huge.
You would have to bring them straight into a feud with Kenny. Like, they would have to attack Kenny off bat to get an exciting pop out of me.
Yeah, yeah. I see that. They would have to, like, bloody him or something. Like, it had to be something big.
Not me, man. He could show up in the crowd and I'd pop.
yeah, I think that would be exciting, man. I don't know. I think – so since we're on AEW – this week, I don't know how much you guys saw. Let's talk about all of it. Oh, you saw all of it? Good, good, good. Okay, I have one good thing, one bad thing, and one maybe thing. I'll talk about my good thing. Will Hobbs getting a pretty good look and a really good rub. He got put over on the mic big time by Moxley. What do you guys think of Will Hobbs and what he's doing? I don't know anything about this guy. I just know, like, he looks good. He's got a good spine buster. And I don't think he's done any mic stuff yet. So he's a big, tough black dude. But, like, I like him. So what do you guys think about what you've seen from him so far?
Always good to see more black talent on the shows. I don't know anything about him. When I first saw him, I thought he was just like a local guy, one of those local job him out guys. So I didn't know. But he's legit, though, so.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good. And, like, the fact that they're giving him a tag match with Moxley is a good rub.
Right.
Ultimately, as much as we complain about WWE guys popping up and being most of the roster or the camera time on Dynamite, they're all in situations with younger or unknown talent. You know what I mean? They're usually next to an unproven guy. And so I think that's on purpose, you know, except for what they're doing with Jericho right now. I don't really understand Jericho and Hager as a tag team. But what do you guys think?
Well, before
that's we move, weird because – oh, sorry, Neo, go ahead.
Thank you. Before we move forward, I mean, I think we definitely got to put some stake in Will Hobbs. He did amazing in AEW Dark. Yeah, he was kind of jobbing out here and there, or I'm sorry, he was enhancing guys here and there. But when the
He came from Dark. I don't be watching Dark, sorry.
Oh, it's all good. But when the Casino Battle Royal happened at All Out, he did amazing. He was definitely my standout competitor in the Casino Battle Royal. And yeah, man, John Moxley hyped him up huge. I think he said he's from Oakland, California. And essentially, Will Hobbs is going to be his heater. And the story goes, it's going to be Moxley, Hobbs, and Darby Allin versus Archer, Brian Cage, and Ricky Starks.
Which that's John Moxley's group should not win that match.
Yeah, they kind of outmatched. Get murdered.
Well, and think about the psychology. You, and this is not to sound mean in any way, but you can blame it on the greenhorn, Will Hobbs, essentially. Like, if you really put your smarky ass fedora on. Like,
yeah, but then
it could definitely be booked that type of way.
You got Cage, who continuously injures Darby Allin because he keeps murdering that kid. So he's going to come back, probably get his revenge.
So here's some exclusive dirt. Y'all want some exclusive Uncle Dave dirt?
Ooh.
It's not that good. It's actually, it just makes me feel like, yo, people pay for this. Dave Johnson said that Will Hobbs is in line for, get this, a big push. Ooh, exclusive news.
I'm saying that's why Dave makes the big bucks, man. I never would have guessed it.
Subscribe, it's the big bucks. He said he was put into the All Out match specifically to get over. Like, they knew that he would have a good showing there, and that was his purpose. And now he's got the team match. Whatever, dude. You know what I mean? It's like, let's just say the most obvious thing. You know, first it was, yeah, they don't have plans for this guy, or they got plans for this guy, and then they don't. Oh, let's change it, you know. Anyway.
For something positive for Will Hobbs, because I like the way he worked. That spine buster, I could watch that all night. He's really good.
I love a spine buster. Yeah,
and he wrestles like a good big man, you know, and you know, I don't know about his mic skills, obviously, but I mean, another big man is always an asset to any wrestling company.
Somebody said he reminds them of Ahmed Johnson. And I was like, well, that's not really a bad thing. I mean, Ahmed had a nice run and, you know, was a physical beast, you know, so not a bad
thing. If we wasn't getting held down back then, come on now.
Yeah, he could have went to the top, you know, like, and probably should have. So that's not
right. If the white man wasn't writing his storyline.
I'm saying, like, Ahmed Johnson was my favorite wrestler when I would play WWE Warzone. Like, that was my guy right there.
Yo, that Pearl River Plunge.
Yep.
Yeah, flip you up. Powerbomb.
Take it down.
Yeah, I liked Ahmed. Blaze says, Jericho and Hager announced that they are going for the tag titles this week.
Yes, sir.
Do they win? Teep.
Yes.
What? Okay. Neo, do they win?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet because, A, they don't have – they're not in the I don't think they're ranked high enough yet, first and foremost. But think about it. The former AEW world champion and, you know, Jack Hager, undefeated in MMA and strong big man in AEW, that's a great pairing.
It's a great pairing.
I think it would be funny because the Inner Circle has a legit tag team. So if right. Jericho and Hagar win the titles, it's like, what is Santana and Ortiz doing? And then, therefore, you know, that becomes a joke.
Yeah. Funny.
Nah, because the current story that they had funny, with ha-ha. Best friends, I mean, that was not in my mind because of the story with best friends. You know,
no, I feel you, but I'm saying once it comes into play, I would look at it. It's like when they team random people up in WWE and then they win. You're like, oh, how did this random team win when you're an actual tag team and you didn't win? So when you have an actual tag team in your group, it's like, why would your group have two tag teams in it when it's only got five people? Like, and really only four people right now because the other dude is injured. So,
yeah. I don't know. And that's interesting. I'm kind of with you, Teak. I feel like tag team wrestling is what the show is, what AEW's built on. And, like, veteran tag teams who've been together, I think, should be dominating that. So, name recognition and stats aside, you know, Jericho and Hager haven't been a team that long, you know. FTR has been around, you know, they're the champs. They're probably got the best chemistry around. Like, I don't think it's time for that. I don't even think they should win it. I think they should challenge and get close, but I don't think they should win it.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't need it.
They can continue to be heaters and, you know, elevate other, you know, tag teams like Private Party. They look good. You know, be that as it may, they're still the Greenhorns in the division, but they lost with grace, in my opinion.
Yeah, I almost thought they were going to win. I was like, wow. But I almost hate to say it that they're like, I don't want to say jobbers, but I guess enhancement. But a good friend of mine on Twitter, OG Johnny Five, said, it's time for Private Party to hit the Performance Center. What do you think?
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Nah. What do you mean? Send them to AEW Dark?
No, send them to NXT.
Oh.
Nah.
Would they be more
effective? If anything, they would transfer Private Party to like Evolve or some shit. You know? they are fine where they're at. They have tons of potential. I've seen matches with them versus, Lucha House Party versus the Lucha Bros versus Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks. Man, oof, they can tear it down when they have to. It's just, Smarky Fedora's all around. They're just not being booked properly. But that's the thing, right? I mean, you got all these great tag teams.
Well,
I am sad that Pentagon and Rey Fenix aren't the champs right now. I mean, come
Bruh,
on.
Seriously.
You know? So, but I get it. Like, everybody's got to.
They should have been the first tag champs.
I agree.
Play their role, for lack of a better word.
Right. They haven't even had a reign. Like, that to me is like, come on. You got guys who have been together, who are super strong together, and should have had a run. I'm with you on that. I feel like they should have.
Hey, that's the thing. Rome was not built overnight, you know? So I think, you know, because I'm an AEW sympathizer, I continue to be apologetic for them because I know that they only have, you know, four titles and two of them are a tag team. You know, they can only do so much. So what can you do?
Yeah, what can you do?
Make more titles.
What, a cruiserweight tag team title or a triple threat?
I thought they were going to do a triple threat title at one time because it seemed like they were getting a lot of three-man groups, like when Pac and Lucha Bros was going against like Best Friends and Orange Cassidy and stuff like that. Like, a trios title would be nice.
I would actually like to see a trios title. What I want to see, which I don't think I've ever seen it, is an actual triple threat match title, meaning it's only defended in
three-way matches.
Three-way dances. Yeah, like the three-way dance title, like King of the Dance or something like that, they call it. And I used to make up a title like that on, was it Warzone back in the day? Yeah, I think on Warzone and PlayStation, you can make a belt. So we called it the triple threat belt. And you could only win it in a three-way. I think
that would be pretty dope. Would you do the, if somebody gets pinned, they get eliminated, and then the triple threat goes to a regular match? That's how ECW used to do it.
I like one fall because you can catch somebody slipping. Oh, he's outside the ring. He's not paying attention. Roll up, bam, you know, and it's over. I like the one pin move. Those were always like the most fun matches to me. It's like, you one slip up and could win it, you know. I like that. Blaze wants us to mention, and of course we gotta make some mention. There was another great match on AEW. We had the Jurassic Express.
Versus FTR.
Great match, phenomenal. Jurassic Express gets better every week, so I gotta give them props. I mean, Luchasaurus, as much as I want to see him make a solo run, it's still really fun watching them together. So
he's definitely got one of the best comebacks next to like Matt Jackson. I love when he gets the hot tag. Ooh, it's always a spectacular thing to see.
Yeah, he cleans up. So that match was really dope. We got to talk about the ending. I thought that parking lot brawl was incredible. So good, so brutal. But I don't know. Maybe this is me just becoming an old softie. Blood and guts, man. I don't need blood and guts all the time from these guys. And I feel like, man, there was just some brutal bumps. There's a lot of blood.
It's a parking lot. It's Def Jam Fight for New York. That scene where Busta, where you have to fight Magic He has his Hummer and you have the Cadillac Escalade. Exactly what I was thinking about.
That I understand. Like, but man, they took some sick bumps. Like, man, dude was inside the freaking hood of the car and there's freaking senton on top of it. Like, yo, that hurt. Like, I just...
Like, you're laying on the engine at that point.
Yeah, I'm like, there's no question that hurt. Like, that hurt a lot.
Hey, those are working cars, pal.
Yeah. They're gimmicked. They're yo, we gimmicked these cars. Don't worry. We took the engine out. We put pillows in there.
But boy, it was, and that's the thing.
That was brutal, man.
But the fact is, you see the wrestling, right? And the fact that the simple things like the camera cuts, you know, those are like some of the best things that I get out of watching AEW. I'm so used to watching, you know, like the Steadicam and the action. And then all of a sudden, I watch Monday Night Raw today, and I'm trying to focus on the action. Boom, camera cut. Boom, camera cut. Boom, camera cut. You know, it's like little things like that go a long way for me personally.
Yeah, I can see that. The production definitely goes a long way.
The finisher. Yeah,
that's how those Marvel movies be cut up in them action scenes. Cut.
I think it was Ortiz that took the Dude Buster from the truck through the wooden board.
Plank. The
truck. Uh-huh. That was nuts.
Ooh, that was tough.
That was crazy. Tough.
What do you think though? Do you think this is like the end for the feud, or do you think Proud and Powerful have a leg to stand on?
No, that's the end of the feud,
Orange,
man.
It's gotta be over. Orange Cassidy.
They got the middle finger. They got the middle finger when she left, man. That's the end.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was great. Should be the end.
Like, payoff. That was payoff.
Yeah, that's payoff. That's the way you end that. I think they did a really good job. Like, you can't come back and be like, let's have a rematch next week. Like,
right.
You can't do that.
Oh, we messed up her new van.
Raw would do that, though. They'd be like, oh, now it's a cage match. Let's do it again. So speaking of cage matches, we had on Raw, I think that was the main event, we had Dominic versus Seth in a cage. Match I think was good. I think that these guys are getting really good together, but I'm tired of it. Are you ready for them to move on? And how do you see this ending? Like, what is the end game here? Like, I don't know. Tell me.
There may not be an end game because I'm not going to mention where I heard this from, but so they were saying that at the end of that, I guess Ray's daughter or something was like lingering with Murphy. Outside the ring. So they're like, you know, why has Ray's family been on the show? Why is she lingering with Buddy Murphy trying to check on him? Like, is it going to be like some sort of romantic tie-in? Seems like it's going to go that way, man. This whole, they're doing some Romeo and Juliet shit, man.
Oh God. So this ain't going nowhere anytime soon, man.
Nope.
This is going to continue.
It's going to switch over to Seth beating up Buddy Murphy now, and Buddy Murphy trying to join up with Ray and Dominic.
They're going to adopt him in the Mysterio family.
Or they switch it around. Like, you know, they bring Ray's daughter over to the dark side. And then, you know, like, that they have to fight to bring her back. Like, I don't know.
Well, can I say, big shout outs to Dominic Mysterio. They put that cat through the ringer, and he still shows up every week. I felt like he's had like pretty much like half of the gimmick matches that exist currently.
Yeah.
And like he's only been wrestled like for 5 weeks thus far. So I think right now Dominic Mysterio right now is definitely one of my favorite wrestlers to watch on WWE. Just because he delivers every show.
But are they
I don't like his look. I think his look's hella plain, but they see a lot in this guy and they're pushing him. And yeah, they've like gave him all of his training in like the last couple weeks, like almost with all of this TV fights with Seth. So yeah, he's gonna be good. I mean, he's gotta take over the Mysterio family legacy, but right now he just looks like some punk kid, man.
I like it is something different. I mean, I don't need to see it every week. I mean, maybe if we did it every other week or I don't know, something, but like there's literally a different gimmick match every week. and some new combination of this and that. Next is going to be, I don't know.
And that's the thing, right? Like
a poll match.
Somebody's on the poll. Oh my God! It's
the shark cage match.
The mask on the poll. Like if you don't get the mask, you can't. Like Ray can't ever wrestle again. I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing that I'm excited to see what they're gonna do because I want them to do Dominic. You know, I want them to do right by. You want Dominic. Them to
put Dominic's mom in the cage.
I want Dominic to actually, you know, actually highlight his wrestling now because, man, he's just been taking his licks left and right, mm-hmm. and coming back, you know, and good on him, of course. But, you know, when he did that dive off of the Thunderdome, like, monitors onto Murphy, you know, this was two Raws ago, and then that sunset flip powerbomb. Mm-hmm. Like a penguin diving through the ropes and flipping Murphy on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, he continues to show out like every week. And that's and that's why I'm saying, like, I want to see more of Dominic. But yes, get him out of these gimmicks.
More of Dominic, but less of him versus Seth or him versus Rollins.
And ultimately, it comes.
He's got to become an actual wrestler and stop making it a blood feud every week.
And that's where, that's exactly where I'm kind of leaning towards, like, what's it going to take to put this to bed and have it move on to bigger and better things? That I guess that's kind of where
he's got to kill Seth Rollins.
He has to kill him, or has to throw him like a
trash. I was thinking that he's got to throw him in the river like they used to do the titles.
Something has to happen where you think, like, oh my God, did he just kill Seth? And then the Messiah is gone, and then he comes back with a new gimmick. And then
he comes back with the white outfit again because, you know, then he's risen. So he would be the Messiah. The good one at that point.
No, check out the comments, y'all. I want to put Ray's eyes on a pole match.
Ray's eye on a pole. The fight for his vision. Oh, God. That would be crazy. All right. So shifting gears a little bit, Neo, I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little New Japan. And I'm sure Blaze will enjoy that too. So, yo, we got the G1 Climax popping off. It starts in 3 days. And there are some betting odds on WrestlingNewsWorld.com. I have those in our chat. But if you guys are interested, I want to get you and the chat's opinion on the betting odds and probabilities for the first 10 matches. First, keep in mind, Tanahashi is the most recent two-time winner, winning in 2018. Last year, winner was Kota Ibushi. So, you know how this goes. There's 2 points for a win, 1 point draw. I think no points for a loss. Whoever has the most points in group A and B, they go at it in the final. So here we go. First match, Will Ospreay versus Takahashi. Who you got?
Ospreay. Sorry, Takahashi. You're an enhancement, bro.
Yeah, like, come on. I don't know what's happening here. This is pretty clear. Jeff Cobb, who just signed with New Japan. Versus Tai Chi.
Jeff Cobb said nobody wanted to be in Japan.
You're right. I was wrong.
Cobb's the hamey.
Cobb is in there. Juice just signed, too. So there will be some Americans repped in this G1. So Jeff Cobb and Tai Chi, who you got?
Oh, Cobb, homie.
Abo Wabo.
We got to be Cobb. It's got to be.
I mean, Tai Chi, don't get me wrong. You know, he can go, but, man, Jeff Cobb is Jeff Cobb.
Word.
Neo's T.O.
Right? That should be a good one. We got Ishii versus Minoru Suzuki. Who you
Woo! Got? I'm kind of biased, man, because
Minoru Suzuki.
he's got to go that's the thing. Murder Grandpa.
Tomohiro Ishii. He can let him fly too, homie. But I'm just gonna go fanboy route and say Suzuki for sure.
Okay, all right, I like that one. Next, we got Shingo Takagi versus Jay White. I think it's pretty clear Jay White takes that. But what say you?
Oh, man, I'm such a big mark for Shingo right now, though. I'm only picking names
that I know. So Jay White.
That's usually how it goes in the first round. The name you know wins first match. Sometimes,
but that's the thing, right? Jay White's coming back. Like this is his his resurgence, for lack of a better word. He was on New Japan USA, mm-hmm. sure, but man, for the G1, I mean, I'm thinking, okay, I'll say this: Shingo wins, Jay White loses, but Jay White will probably pull a stretch out like in the next couple matches to stay in the finals.
Okay, yeah, remember, I think it was Kota lost his first match last year. Yes, he lost to Kenta, right? I think. Yeah. And that was a fire match. And then he mm-hmm. wound up winning this. So you can lose this match and still win. So it's not the end of the world. So one of these will be an upset, I think. And I think it's this one. Here's the match everybody's waiting for. Kazuchika Okada versus Kota Ibushi. Who you got? Okada or Ibushi? This one is split down the middle. The betting odds are even on this match. Nobody can call it. So
right, because I'm going to go with the Rainmaker on that.
I say Rainmaker too. But I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going to say Kota. Fuck it. I'm going to say Kota.
Oh, okay.
If there was another person in here, we might be split too. Split decisions.
Right. wait, Kent says Ibushi beats Okada to avenge the Tokyo Dome loss.
See, there you go. Split decision right there. There's another.
Oh. Yeah. Another good point. Kenta started G1 last year undefeated and didn't win. So
very good point.
It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Especially the G1. It can go either way. This is why the G1 is the best tournament in wrestling, period.
Absolutely.
Right. And not G1 the producer.
shout out to G1 the producer. who went around the whole day at Madison Square Garden telling people, I'm G1, but not the tournament. Like, we know, buddy.
Not the tournament that we here to see. But.
You can call me by my burnt name.
BJ. Shout out to BJ. All right, so yo, Toru Yano versus Sanada.
Yo, you know what? I think Toru Yano's gonna take it.
What? Come on. Now that we just started talking about there has to be an upset, you just gonna pick one.
He's gonna tape Sonata to like the railing or some shit. Right?
Come on.
This is something funny.
You know what though? It might happen. I don't know. Like the first round is I can't call it. Juice Robinson versus Yoshihashi. Juice Robinson, who you got?
I only know Juice.
Juice.
It's gotta be Juice.
I gave it to Juice.
You don't go all the way to
he just signed. So go to.
And you just signed. You don't go that far to take that L. Well, maybe you do.
I gave it to Juice Robinson and his badass trucker mustache.
Yo, Juice has a different look every time I watch New Japan. It's crazy. Shout out to Juice. All right. So who we got? Oh, we got Kenta versus Haruka Goto.
Yo, this is going to be like the never open weight championship match that we never got. I feel like Hiroki Goto is one of like the pillars of the never open weight title. And Kenta, you know, he's a disciple of Shibata. I mean, this is going to be a blood match for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking for a brawl here. Kenta is the favorite by a lot. God, 83%. But I think this is going to, yeah, somebody's going to bleed. We're going to see some
blood feud.
And we may see blood in this one, too. Maybe. We got
I'll say Kenta on that one.
Oh, you got Kenta.
Sure. Okay. I'll say Kenta.
Yeah, I think so. All right. And lastly, Zack Sabre Jr.
Well,
Evil.
Second to lastly, I'll say that.
What? Did I miss one?
Second to lastly.
You missed the main attraction.
What was the main attraction?
Tanahashi.
Look at his shirt.
Naito.
We're going to get to that.
But yeah, you said lastly, my bad. So yeah, for this match, I'm definitely going to go. Evil's definitely going to win, but Zack Sabre Jr., you know, he's one of my favorite wrestlers. But mm-hmm. I think Evil's going to win this one.
Mm. Okay. I think so too. Gosh, so I'm sure we're wrong about at least one of these, but. I'm looking for a good one. There will be at least one upset. Probably more. Bear says I vote red shoes.
Red shoes forever.
Forever. All right. So I guess we gotta talk about it. So who do we get? What do we get? Is it Tana or Naito?
Well, Naito is your current double champ now, right?
Yes.
That's the thing, man. Like, I'm interested to see who takes, if Tetsuya takes any L's. Obviously, he's already lost to Evil, and he's lost to Okada a bunch, and Tanahashi. He's not invincible. But for this match, I'll say Tanahashi, because I'm a big Tanahashi mark. I'll rep that till the day he retires.
And then that's not a bad guy to mark for. I'm not mad about that. I don't know. I can't call it. I don't know.
This is why I love
the game. Kent says Tanahashi wins and gets that title shot. I could see that, but Tanahashi can't win the title again. Like, come on. He can't. Can he?
Yeah.
Maybe he can, but he can't.
I don't think he can win it anymore.
That's like John Cena coming back right now and then getting into a match. Like, he's the John Cena of Japan to me. So, like imagine Cena popping up today and then getting a title match against.
But he would, though.
Who's the champ? Right now, I don't know.
Roman?
Yeah.
Roman. And he wouldn't win. He would put him over. Like, I think that's what he would do.
I'm saying he would get in the title picture as soon as he came back, though. John Cena. Would he, though?
I don't know. It's been a long time since he's been in the title picture. But you're probably right. He'd find his way in there again.
Yeah, I mean, I think just like Blaze said, Tanahashi to get a shot down the road, but he's not winning the G1. I agree. I think Tana right now, he's definitely like really for fan appeal, mass appeal, so to speak. Yeah, I think it's sad, but the Tanahashi of old is of old, you know. And
right, like he has nothing to prove. I don't think he necessarily
he has nothing to prove.
His spot is solidified. Like, he's a legend. Whatever. We know it. And like Cena, like, he doesn't have to get that, what is he, 15 times? He doesn't have to get that 16 for anybody to beat Flair. Like, he don't have to do that for anybody to be like, he's a legend.
100%.
He's already there. All right. So I want to get to a couple of, just one last thing, which I think is finally about to happen on Raw. Zelina Vega looks like she's finally going to be wrestling, which I got excited about. With her interfering a little bit in that match. So I'd heard some rumors that they haven't necessarily wanted her to wrestle because she's just a really good manager. But she's also really good at being a worker, and she didn't come there to be a manager.
Yeah, she was AJ Lee.
So what do you think, right? So what do you think about where do you see a Zelina like run going? Can she really challenge Asuka or anybody?
That's the thing. You have women like Asuka, women like Shayna Baszler, who are tough top contenders. And Zelina could definitely use a lot of tomfoolery, maybe trickery, distractions, you know, in her arsenal. But it's hard for me to say because she hasn't had enough convincing wrestling matches to really speculate, right?
Yeah. Like, she's always put up some good spots, but, like, I haven't seen a lot of, like, full matches to really, you know, judge her on. So she kind of has to build from the bottom, you know? And I don't know if Raw would give you that kind of time.
Well, what's the bottom? She's better than Lana, right? So she's not starting from there.
So beat Lana is where you got to start, I guess.
Okay, well then, hey, she can do that. You got to start her somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. You gotta start somewhere.
Lana, Natalya.
This was hilarious. Begins like this. V said, I think her run is going to be similar to Stephanie McMahon. Occasionally fighting, but not as involved.
Okay, I could see that. Somebody, I saw something in a rumor report that was like, Vince McMahon told Zelina that she reminded him of Stephanie. And I'm like, I don't really know what that means, but okay. Like, Stephanie wasn't a good wrestler.
I've seen some of that's the backstage Stephanie stuff back in the day. Oof.
Yeah. I got
that's weird. Like that's like the Trump comments about his daughter. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it makes me wonder. Like, what are you saying?
Like, what are you saying when you say that, Vince?
I don't know. We need more clarity. So last thing I want to talk about is a lot of people have been mostly excited about Miro coming to AEW.
Miro!
I'm excited because hopefully this means, you know, a good thing for him. But what if it doesn't? Where do you see this Miro thing going? Come right on, now, he's teamed with Kip Sabian.
Suspend your disbelief.
It's we don't know. Like, I don't know. Right now, he's with who could be considered to be a mid-carder at best, maybe.
Yep, that's absolutely true, my friend. Absolutely true.
So, I mean, I feel like that either, because they were just talking about him, his bachelor party. It'll either be his bachelor party or at his wedding where Rusev is going to murder Kip Sabian. And then
he's gonna Machka kick him in the cake.
That needs to happen. He needs to destroy him at his wedding. Like, I feel like, and get that over with. Like, no, I'm not your second guy. I'm not any of that. Like, I'm out of here. You know, right. He needs to immediately move up and get that jobber stink off.
So I feel like, you know, we got a couple more weeks of that because he's gotta work that gimmick out. But yeah, once the best man thing, he's not gonna have the ring. He's gonna be a fuck up best man.
Like, whoops! I was gonna say
gonna murder that guy.
Miro straight up said, he's like, I'm the best for these types of angles. I've been married twice in real life. I've been married twice, you know, on television in wrestling. Like, he knows everything about it. So he knows all the angles. He knows, you know, he knows his part. Mm-hmm. You know what, though? You know, the last segment was him bench pressing backstage with his homie. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he's ready to fight. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, but the girl was spotting him, though, while he was bench pressing all that weight.
Yeah, but
wait a minute.
Ford was spotting.
Wait, yeah, that's weird.
That was hilarious.
Okay. That is pretty funny.
See, maybe he's going to go from being the best man to being the main man. He's going to steal Penelope Ford.
Mr. Steel, girl.
I don't want to see that, though, because I don't want to see Rusev get tied down by another woman and, you know, like, wrestling. Like, let him just be a monster. Don't.
Right. That's what I want to see. Need... He ain't got to be funny. He ain't got to be charismatic. I think he just needs to kill people. That's all I want to see is just him.
But with that outfit people. That he had on and that blonde hair, he probably going to be douchey.
Yeah, that's what probably, I was thinking.
He like a smug gimmick.
In you know, $5,000 worth of Hypebeast gear. Like, he might be that guy. Like, I'm better than you. Like,
yeah,
he might do that. Like, the whole I'm better than you.
He's going to be like an Abu Dhabi oil tycoon or something, you know?
Oh. Put that stereotype to bed.
Hey, wrestling.
We don't need
wrestling is all about wrestling is all about stereotypes, man. Wrestling with stereotypes.
Yeah, it actually is. You're right about that. It's the oldest gimmick in the book. I think someone said Miro should join up with MJF's Wolfpack. I think that would be cool to see.
Wow. I didn't consider it. That's wow. Yeah. I can see that. Good job, Blaze.
I would like it. I need him to be next to main eventers. Like, I don't want him hanging around with mid-carders. Like, he's better than that.
And MJF just fought for the title, so, and he, you know, he still has some sort of claim to it. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. So I think, I'll let it build. I'm not super happy with it now. I don't want to see him middling in a meaningless feud. Like, just kick him into the cake and move on. Not like, oh, 3 weeks in a row. Oh, now he just put cake in his face. Oh, my God. You know, like, nah, get out of here with that. Like,
you're saying Rusev come back the next week with a top layer of the cake. He's like, I saved this for you. Hit him with it again.
Right.
He's going to put it in his freezer, and then he's going to say, remember what happened a year ago? But, hey, I'll give this to AEW. When they do storytelling long-term, they do it right, you know?
I agree. I think what they're doing with Hangman and Kenny has been phenomenal. Like, it's a great slow build, and it's going to eventually, everybody's going to get what they want out of it, you know?
But yeah, I agree with Rusev, though. That story doesn't need to last any longer than that. Like you said, a good Machka kick into the cake,
right?
Ruin his wedding.
You walk off. See them.
I would, I wouldn't want Rusev to have a tearaway suit on, so after he Machka kicks him, he can rip the suit off and just be a beast. Like, fuck mm-hmm. suits. I never wear another suit again. Draws only.
Draws only. Yep.
Trunks the whole way, Rusev, no clothes. go back to that.
Yep. All right, and lastly, Ringside News reports a tease has been dropped by Ronda Rousey about maybe returning, that she wants to maybe come back. Are you ready for Ronda to return?
Stay home, Ronda. Stay your ass home, Ronda. Not me, man. I'm not about it.
What? No? I want to see her back. I want
to. Is her return going to be exciting with no people there?
What's done is done. Like,
no,
she has like no business now.
You're right. I think if she comes back with a full understanding of the psychology of wrestling, like, yo, they're going to hate you now, embrace it. You know what I mean? And not like whining about it.
Right. She was mad.
I think it could be dope. I would actually really like to see it, but like, I don't want her mad about it. Like, oh, I work and I can beat any of these girls. Why are you booing me?
And you then we throw her back in, and then who does she feud with? Where does she go?
I don't know. I guess like it wouldn't be anything new. You're right. Like it would be Asuka, Bayley, or Sasha, or like it wouldn't really be anything new.
It's gonna be Lana. Like,
yeah. So basically, this is a very small thing. I wouldn't put any stock in this rumor at all. She just watched the match of her and Natty and was like, oh, I would love to do this again one day. And that was it. So we'll see. And Miro said he wants to wrestle Kenny Omega in AEW.
Oh.
So there it is.
Ah, chef's kiss for that.
I would love to see it. I mean.
The best bout machine.
Versus the best man.
Versus the best man.
How do you see that match going? I mean, I guess it depends on where the storyline is at that point. But let's say that's a pay-per-view match. Where do you see that going?
I mean, I see Kenny going back to the cleaner, so I don't know where, like, Rusev would be. So I don't really know how to judge that match. I don't think Rusev would win, though.
No, I don't think he would win. But, you know, like what they're doing with Keith Lee. You know, anything's possible when you literally just bring a guy in, put him right at the top, but you just make all of his matches no contest. So like, he didn't lose, you know? Like, first of all, he dominated Randy Orton. So, like, I refuse to think that they had no plans for this dude when they brought him in
and
smashed Randy Orton.
When he held up through the RKO, when he tried to give him the RKO, when he just held it and didn't go down, I was like, oh, man.
Right, like, yo, they giving this dude, they made him look really strong. I think they got to figure out the rest. The music is trash. The outfits he come out
with. The outfit's been trash.
Different look every time is not good. Like, I don't know what it is. But, another good point Sam Bruno just brought up is that Miro has an option in his contract to wrestle in New Japan. So that'll be cool to see.
Well, one thing that I was going to add is if you ever saw Kenny Omega versus Tomohiro Ishii, like, Kenny can fight against brawlers in strong style. So that's immediately where my mind went.
When I heard Miro and Ishii? Ooh.
Well, not only that, but Miro, when I heard it, you know, you say
when you said Miro versus and Omega,
I immediately thought when Omega fought Ishii, and that was a banger. You know, I hearken Miro to Ishii in some lights. I don't like to compare, but they just give me that same energy sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I can really feel that match really going super strong style, like super strong style.
I would want to see that. Word. All right. So I think that might be it. We'll take some questions from the audience, but I'm going to just wrap up the recorded version for audio.
What about? Did you not want to get back on Sony? You
didn't want the burial. Man. Okay, I will bury Sony. The burial.
I'll let you do that. I'm not big on the PlayStation anyway, so go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, let me play some Undertaker
burial music.
I need burial music first. For this to happen.
We're gonna take them to church.
Yeah.
And the truth.
Oh no, that's the wrong one. All right. What's going on right now is that Sony actually I just got an email while I was on chat with you guys at 6 p.m. Pacific time from Walmart. Walmart said, your requested item is available and in stock. Click here to buy. So just for, you know, craps and giggles, I decided to go follow and try to buy. I clicked the button. It's a PlayStation 5.
Digital or disc version?
Disc version, of course.
Disc versions.
I hit that button because I want to buy that thing. And wouldn't you know, the buy it button is grayed out. Its eyes are rolling back in its head because the PlayStation stock has to rest in peace. So they have no PlayStations in stock, even for the person who they told me that they were available for, who, me. I try to click the button and it's like, nope. So Sony has completely botched this launch. This all started with an announcement during a special little, you know, presentation where they say that these things will go on sale tomorrow, the next day. By the time they finished the presentation, Walmart was like, oh, did you say today? Whoop! Puts it out. The whole internet scrambling, trying to get these things going. I have to shout out Wario64 on Twitter for giving the updates. But it's been completely ridiculous. So a lot of people are very angry. Walmart will restock. And remember, guys, just wait because you don't want a buggy system. But again, Sony, though, should know better. And they should do this better. Do better, Sony.
Do better.
You got people have been saying they've been up since 1 a.m., like up till 1 a.m. trying to search and refresh. Stuff disappearing, bots out there, disappearing from your carts. Like, come on, man. So everybody who hates GameStop was waiting in line at GameStop. Man, it's just like ridiculous. You have the market share. You got us by the balls. There's no need for you to operate this way.
There's a chip shortage.
A chip shortage? Is that what's happening?
I don't know. I just remember that's what Nintendo's excuse was, remember?
Oh, yeah. There's no shortage. Come on. Like, y'all know. You know the demand level based on what the PS4 sells. So shame on y'all. And shout out to Jim Johnston for this great piece of music.
Boo that man!
You get boo! Very... Oh, wait, I gotta find the boo. Yep. Sony, no love. Y'all messed up. So if you are an Xbox person, you know, let's hope that the Xbox runs their launch a lot better. Because Xbox got petty. They took some shots. They're like, oh, don't worry. We'll actually tell you when it's available. And we like, they took some shots. And they're going to be $70 games, man.
I mean, when you
I'm
leave.
I'm burying you for that. $70 games.
That's some N64 prices. What the hell?
When you leave the shot wide open, don't expect somebody not to take it.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm very, very sad and mad at these people for not making it easy for people to buy. But the people who didn't buy, yo, save your money. Use that money to go buy a Mega Ran album, a T-Paul album, you know? And yeah. Support Make people sure. who are actually going to support you back.
I could always use it.
Yeah, definitely. Go to Bandcamp.com, search Mega Ran, search T-Paul, pick up that merch. Go to megaran.com. Tons of merch there. I think you're still doing the giveaway, right? You get 5 subs, you get the giveaway for the T-shirt.
Correct. Yeah. You know, so that's for Twitch only. The folks who are listening they'll be too late for that. But jump on the Twitch page.
Well, yeah.
Fun during the conversation.
For next time. I mean, if you are listening to the audio version of the show, check out the Twitch page. It's super interactive. We got the chat going. I mean, I think it's a great time for everybody.
Oh, show. Also, you can always go to ProWrestlingTees.com, grab some of those T-shirts, and your boy's got a shirt. Actually, we got what, 2-3 shirts up there?
We got 3 shirts and an album.
3 shirts and an album. You get that Matt Mania joint. They got a lot of other cool stuff, too, but we're just talking about us right now. You can get the Matt Mania stuff There's the Trent's mom shirt, which is cool. The We Love Hanakamura shirt. I think I'm going to pick that up. The Miro Best Man shirt is up. I like the SCU. This is the worst year shirt a lot. I dig that a lot. That was really smart. So, yeah, there's a lot of good ones out there. And new to the shop is Mike Rotunda. That's correct. Mike Rotunda.
Father, give him no love.
Father of Bray Wyatt has a shop because he just, I think he just got let go from the
IRS.
So, IRS.
He did. He got let go from his contract, his Legends contract. Was he on the Legends contract?
Probably. So, you know, support IRS. You got to pay up to Erwin R. Scheister.
Now, he's coming for his.
Yep. That's correct. So, yeah.
Bray Wyatt can no longer support him.
Go do some shopping, hook the people up. And five subs is definitely cheaper than a console, Bears. Thank you for
well,
that.
Well, additionally, I mean, just support us on the social medias. We've had so many follows recently just on this show alone. So thank everybody who helped with the follows on the social media page. We definitely appreciate you. Just helping out with the follows goes a long way. If you can support, show your support through patreon.com. Matt Mania has a Patreon. I know Mega has a Patreon. So just search in the Patreon, Matt Mania Podcast, or do you have it under Mega Ran or?
For this, for the stream, it's twitch.tv/Mega_Ran.
But for your Patreon, is it still also under Mega Ran?
Yes, it's under Mega Ran.
Perfect. Shout outs to.
And Mega Ran decided to take it into his own hands. It feels like old times again.
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta have a hostile takeover, you know? This is like when Shane McMahon showed up on Nitro. It was like, yes, right. I do own the Batmania podcast.
your name was never left off the lease there, pal.
Like, that's right. The contract still says Mega Ran. So follow the boys on Twitter and Instagram. I'll put those posts up right now. And we will see you next time. But if you are watching this live, stick around for a Q&A and some extra bonus footage.